I usually do not cook at home, and I left that kitchen department to my wife. But sometimes there are certain kind of food that I would like to eat, and she doesn't cook, so I have to learn it on my own. And recently I bought a couple of thin Chinese cookbook and learned to make some food that I feel that would be good for my health. Well, as I grow a little bit older, I began to eat more for nutrition rather than just for the taste. And I realized that my son, fourth graders, he always eats for the taste and doesn't care about the nutrition, whether there are a lot of sugars or salt or oil or fried food. But for me, I begin to care for the nutrition more than the taste. So one of the cookbook taught me that in the springtime, it's good to eat some pork liver. I don't know whether you eat pork liver at all or not. Well, it's especially good in the springtime because it nurtures your liver, and the liver is an important organ in your body. It's like a chemical plant. It generates blood for your body. It also purifies toxic materials. And I wonder how many of you know that how much blood do we have in a normal human body? How many gallons would you think? 10 gallon? 5 gallon? It's much less. It's about 3, less than that. It's about 1.2 to about 1.5 gallon of blood, like 10 to 12 pints. So you figure out if you have 1 gallon of milk in your refrigerator, you add a little bit more, that's about, well, if you are bigger, you may have 1.5 gallon. If you're smaller, maybe 1 gallon. That's about it. The blood weighs about 5 to 7% of your body weight. It is possible to lose about one-third of your blood and still survive, but you will probably a little bit sick and weak. In a website, on the internet, it describes a bleeding disorder. It's a prolonged bleeding due to inadequate blood clotting or coagulation. And then normal blood coagulation is a complex process that involves about 20 different plasma proteins to form a substance called fibrin to stop bleeding. And when certain factors are missing, the process does not occur normally. And then bleeding problems can range from mild to severe. Some of the bleeding disorders are inherited at birth, and others developed during certain illnesses, such as a deficiency in vitamin K, or a severe liver disease, or prolonged use of certain medications or antibiotics. And then the symptoms of the bleeding disorder are like excessive bleeding, excessive bruising, or easily bleeding, or nosebleeds, or abnormal menstrual bleeding. And the website gives a list of 14 specific bleeding disorder diseases. The story we read this morning is about a woman. When Jesus was on her way to Jairus, the ruler of the synagogue's house, to heal a 12-year-old daughter, this woman who had been bleeding for 12 years came up behind Jesus in the crowd to touch his cloak, and she was miraculously healed. Jesus was not upset because this woman interrupted his schedule. Jesus understands her problems, her pain, her loneliness. Jesus not only healed her body but also your soul. from this passage, we want to learn how does one progress from a seeker to a believer. What does it take to grab and catch Jesus' attention? Why does Jesus want us to meet him all the way and not merely in the midway? To know him personally and not just to know about him. In the passage, we first saw that her faith goes from despair to determination. If you have your Bible, I would encourage you to open up your Bible and look at the verses as we are studying together. In chapter 5, verse 25, it says, "And a woman was there who had been subject to bleeding for 12 years. She had suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors and had spent all she had. Yet instead of getting better, she grew worse." There's a story about a shipwreck, and the only survivor was washed up on a small island of a place of no man land. And he prayed earnestly to God to rescue him, and every day he stretched his neck and looked far away and scanned the horizon to see if any help is coming. But no one's coming to rescue him. As the day goes by, he built a little hut out of the driftwood to protect himself from the sun and the rain and store some of his few possessions. Then one day when he was out hunting for food and when he arrived home, he found out that his little hut was on fire and the smoke was rolling up the sky. He was so discouraged. In his anger, he cried out to God, "God, why could you do this to me?" He was in great despair. And then he slept under a roofless hut for the night. And then early next morning, the man was woke up by the sound of a ship that was approaching that island. They came to rescue him. And then he was surprised, but very happy. And then he asked the rescuers, "How do you know I was here?" And then they replied, "Well, we saw the smoke signal yesterday." He was in despair. His hut was on fire. But little did he understand that God used that as a way to send a signal to the rescuers. The Jewish law had some specific instructions on how to deal with a woman who had a hemorrhage or a bleeding disorder or a discharge of blood for a long time. And this woman and her bed and anything she sits on will be unclean as long as she has the discharge, and those who had contact with her would become unclean also. And they had to wash their clothes and bathe themselves until the evening. And then the next day, they would become clean again. This woman became a transmitter of uncleanness to others. If she had been married, probably, likely, now she would have been divorced by her husband. She was ostracized from the normal society, and she was not allowed to enter the synagogue or temple today. Maybe a big church. The story of that woman with a bleeding disorder began about 12 years ago, and she had a degenerating disease. Her desperate situation has driven her to various doctors to spend all her monies, and the doctors tried various medicines, different kinds of methods, regularly calling her to come in and then charging her every time for the office visit. And then she paid a large sum of money for her medications. And the doctor could not heal her body or make her feel better. And in fact, verse 26 says, "She has suffered a great deal under the care of many doctors." The doctors did not help her to get better, but make her worse, make her suffer more. But she did not quit. She was determined in spirit to live on, to press on, to battle on. And her sickness was attacking her, but it didn't break her. No matter what kind of a diagnosis she received from the doctor, she continued to struggle, move on. Her faith may be incomplete, but her faith was real. She let nothing stand in her way as she pushed through the crowd and came to Jesus. She could have used many excuses to convince herself to stay away from Jesus. She might have said to herself that I'm not as important as the ruler of the synagogue. You know, at that time, the ruler of the synagogue was an important religious leader, more or less like a famous pastor of a big church, or the chairman of the board of a large congregation. He probably would be a rich man, but his 12-year-old daughter was dying, and he approached Jesus to help heal his daughter. And on his way, he was stopped by the crowd and stopped by this woman. So this woman could have think that I'm not important. Or look, he's going with Jairus, so I won't bother him now. For I am a sick woman, and I have tried every method that I have known, and I have seen every doctor in town, but none of them could help. And probably the crowd would not allow me to cut in front of them to Jesus. But she could not use any of those excuses or arguments. She cut through the crowd. She laid aside all the excuses and she came by faith to Jesus. She goes from her despair to determination. And finally, she reached out to touch Jesus. The second thing we learn from this woman is that her faith may be ignorant, but her faith was sincere. Verse 27 says, when she heard about Jesus, she came behind him in the crowd and touched his cloak, because she thought, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. Up to this point, this woman with the hemorrhage had heard Jesus' miracle in Capernaum. And Jesus had used two methods to heal by miracles. One is by his spoken word. He healed the centurion's servants and the paralytic by his word. He just spoke the word and the sick person was well. And then the method Jesus had used before were by direct touch at the patients. Like he touched the leper, and he touched Peter's mother-in-law to raise her up. But this woman didn't use any of this method. She came behind Jesus. She did not actually touch Jesus' body, head or hand or shoulder. She only touched his clothes. Her faith was unconventional. She thought to herself, if I just touched his clothes, I will be healed. This woman's faith was at its core an ignorant faith. She sought a cure that was essentially magic secured, just touching the edge of his robe. She had no idea that Jesus would know anything about what she did. Her faith was presumptuous, superstitious, but her faith was real. And Christ honored that imperfect faith. God is doing still doing the same thing today. Maybe our faith is immature, incomplete, ignorant. But if our faith is real, Jesus would honor that faith. Beginning faith is often uninformed and mixed with many errors. Maybe we don't know everything about the incarnation, about the Trinity, about the relationship between grace and works, about the free will of man and predestination. However, such foggy understandings are often the beginning of a deep trust in God. We can take courage in that. We do not have to have it all figured out. This is why a child can come to Christ. This is why God often saves those who know virtually no theology. Last week we have 6 brothers and sisters baptized in our church. And 2 weeks ago I was interviewing one of the candidates for baptism. He was born and raised in communist, atheist China. And throughout his growing up years, he was taught that there was no God in this universe. And then he has been a scientist, and he's a physicist, to be specific. It is not easy for him to come to faith in Christ. It has been a long journey for him. 2 weeks ago, before baptism, he was still questioning some of the key doctrines of Christianity. He couldn't understand the concept of eternity. But as I was talking to him, evaluating, ready for baptism, I noticed one thing, that his faith was very genuine, very sincere. He had questions, he asked, he searched. He really wanted to find out the answers. I believe that he knows enough to become a Christian and to be baptized, although it's not complete. But what he knows is enough for him to commit his entire life to Jesus. It's the same thing for marriage. You don't know everything about the other person you are going to get married with, but you know enough that you trust the next 40, 50, 60 years of your life, and then you make the vow before God that you will love and cherish the other person until death you would do you apart. Faith may be incomplete, but if it is real, God will honor that faith. In today's passage, the woman's faith was not only incomplete or ignorant, but in fact selfish or self-centered. She only wanted to get well, to get her wealth, her health again. But she did not care about the healer. She wanted to get well and then to get away and disappear in the crowd, never let anyone to know that she had a disease and was healed. She didn't even want to thank Jesus. She didn't want to talk to Jesus. She wanted to disappear quietly. Sometimes this is our faith too. We want the benefit of believing in Christ, but we don't really want to develop a deep relationship with Christ. But Jesus encouraged her to come forward, to give a testimony. The best thing about this woman's faith was that she chose the right person. She chose Jesus. She put her complete trust on Jesus. She did not put a trust in any other person, any other gods or any other idols or any other methods. She said, if I just touch his clothes, I will be healed. That is a good choice. She chose the right target, the right person, and put her whole weight on Jesus. It's a story about a missionary, John Payton. She was translating the Bible from the original language to a native language. This is the ministry that our brother Kwok and Elizabeth Lee will be doing in the near future. And then she come to, and then they come to a word that is difficult to translate, that does not appear in the native language, the word for faith. He scratched his head for a long time, and then one day while he was working on his translation, a native entered the room. He was exhausted, tired, and threw himself down completely on a chair, and then put his legs, his feet on another chair, and then said that it feels so good to lean my whole weight on the chair. And then the light bulb suddenly turned on, and the missionary figured out that, oh, exactly, this is it. This is the word for faith. To lean his whole weight on something is to believe on something or somebody. This woman's faith may be ignorant or superstitious, but genuine. She put her entire weight on Jesus, and she was healed. Your faith may be childish, may be immature, may be infantile, but if you lean your whole weight on Jesus, you too can find healing, not just for the body, but for the soul. The third thing we learn from this woman who has been bleeding for 12 years is that her faith leads her not only to healing, but also to the healer. She had a deeper relationship with Jesus Christ, not just knowing about Jesus. After her healing, she knew Jesus personally. Verse 32, but Jesus kept looking around to see who had done it. Then the woman, knowing what had happened to her, came and fell at his feet, and trembling with fear, told him the whole truth. He said to her, daughter, your faith has healed you. Go in peace and be freed from your suffering. More than 400 years ago, there were three small sailing boats across the Atlantic Ocean to see whether there was any land or any man on the other side of the world. The sailors began to become discontented at the delay, the long journey, and the uncertainty, not knowing whether they would end up to any land or not. And then they complained against their commander, Columbus. They think that they should tie him up and put him in a room, lock him up, and then another commander should be in charge, and then they turn back to Europe. And then one day they discover something was floating on the surface of water, and then they pick it up. Oh, it's seaweed. So they reason, if there's a seaweed, there has to be some rocks in a place nearby. And if there are rocks, there must be land. That means we should be close to the newfound land. And then a few days later, those men began to argue. Well, there may be some land, but there might not be any human beings there. But the next day, they saw a piece of wood floated on top of the waters. So, well, they went over and picked up that piece of wood, and they found out that, in fact, it was cut in the shape of a sharp instrument. And so they figured out that where there are intelligent tools and instruments, there must be intelligent beings that made those tools. That means there are intelligent beings on the land. So finally, they arrived to the newfound land. If we continue this logic, if there is healing, there must be a healer. So this sick woman, she had experienced 12 years of bleeding. After she was healed, she not only was healed physically, she actually had a relationship with the healer. She knew Jesus personally. After she was healed, she planned to slip away quietly and get lost in the crowd, but Jesus turned and stopped her. She might want to come to God by the side door, but she didn't want anyone to notice her, but Jesus wanted to meet her in the front door, face to face, and would not allow her to leave by the back door quietly. Why did Jesus not simply let her remain anonymous and go away? For one thing, Jesus wanted to be more than a healer to her. Jesus wanted to be her savior and her friend as well. Jesus wanted her to look into his face, to feel his tenderness, and to hear his words of comfort and assurance. And Jesus tenderly called her daughter. This is the only time recorded in the Bible that Jesus called any woman daughter. She could not be a young woman because she has been bleeding for 12 years. This is a title of comfort to call her daughter. If she disappeared in the crowd, then she could not receive the gift of, she could only receive the gift of help, but she would not be able to meet the giver. But now she come before Jesus and speak about herself and testify and witness in his presence. Her faith grows stronger. More importantly, she showed her Savior's face, not only his back. She met Jesus. She did not need to live in fear again. Jesus said, "Go in peace, your faith has made you well." For the last 12 years, she was suffering this bleeding disorder. And when she met Jesus, she was healed. Comparing to Jairus, he had 12 years of happy days with his lovely daughter. But this happiness is going to the end soon. And Jesus came to help both the rich Jairus and the poor widow woman. Jesus came to help the famous ruler of the synagogue and the anonymous woman. Jesus came to help those who are high up in the social ladder and those who are on the bottom. And most of us are somewhere in the middle. Jesus knows where you are. Jesus told her to go and live in peace and not in fear anymore, not in loneliness, not in despair. This woman represents all humanity, you and I. We are spiritually ill. We have been sick. We have fallen short of the glory of God. We have been sinners for a long time. We have spent all our resources, our money, our time, trying to correct the situation, trying to get healed, but none of them work. And Jesus Christ comes to us. He died on the cross, and by his sickness, by his pain, his suffering, we are healed. We need to touch him by faith. Do not fear that he will not respond to us. Do not fear that you are too insignificant. Do not fear that your faith is too selfish. Fear only one thing, that you will let this opportunity be gone forever. God's door of faith is always open is always accessible to anybody, to the sick, to the hurting, to the weak. But you merely standing around in the crowd, do you want to remain anonymous? Have you asked Jesus to be your friend and your savior and your companion and your healer? Do you give up easily, quickly? Do you get discouraged? Do you go away empty? Would you let Jesus come into your life? Would you take a step to make him your Lord and your Savior? Shall we pray? We thank you, Lord Jesus Christ, that we have celebrated the Good Friday and Easter Sunday. Thank you that, Lord, you have come to die for us, to redeem us from sin, from punishment. And thank you that, Lord Jesus, you have risen from the dead to give us the hope of eternal life. Thank you, Lord Jesus, you are the life and the resurrection. Those who believe in you may die, but we will live again. Thank you that you have conquered death and sin and the devil. And by believing in you, we too can overcome death, the devil, and sin. Thank you that you have come to give us life and give us more abundant life. And by faith, we can receive it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.